Today on Mike's Camera Action, we finally get around to watching a Miyazaki film. Of course, this is the only one that I know of with the Rotten Tomatoes score in the negatives. Today we're looking at Tales from Earthsea. I'm your host, Carl Pontisso, and I'm joined by my co-host, Alex.
Sup?
And of course, my lovely guest, recurring guest, David.
And recurring lore master.
Damn right. You got to have your lore masters in there, okay? It's very important. Don't. Alex has just leaned over and turned up my headset volume, which is very worrying.
I also love that we started this with a negative Rotten Tomatoes. That is impressive.
So it's certified rotten, not fresh. That's...
Yeah.
Because Rotten Tomatoes doesn't go into the negative.
It does not.
Learn how to Rotten Tomatoes, Carl, please.
What?
You're a pretty rotten podcast host, if we're honest.
I know my stuff. I figure the best way to talk about this is, David, what is Tales from Earthsea? Like, what is the best way, what is this movie about?
Tales from Earthsea is what happens when you try to make four books into one movie without reading any of them.
Do I at least read the Wikipedia synopsis?
No. In fact, you actually just take things from other pieces of media for a laugh. There are four Earthsea books. Mm-hmm. This is very loosely the plot of the third one with the characters and setting of the fourth.
Okay. This movie's weird, where I actually got... You were telling me, like, oh, it's pretty... It's not very good, and I was like, yeah, but that'll be fun. And at the beginning, I was totally into it. Like, the opening of this movie is great, where it's like, you've got a bunch of sailors on this boat, and they're seeing these two dragons fight, ending in a dragon dying. They approach this, this comes to the king, who's saying, oh, well, dragons fighting heralds the end times. And then the king is assassinated by the prince, steals his sword, makes off with it. Then we find a wizard in the desert, full of ships, marooned in the sands of the desert. He fights off a bunch of wolves, takes this kid to Horsetown, which we'll get to Horsetown in a sec.
I have a lot of feelings about the horses in this film.
Yeah. And it's like this crumbling, like, next to fallen empire worth of a city. And then none of this is relevant in any way. None of this matters to the wider plot.
Yeah.
Which is so unfortunate, because that was so cool. The opening was so damn cool, and none of it's important.
Realistically, you could cut this at the point where he gets rescued from slavers, just like that's the first time any of the characters met each other. Same movie.
Yeah, really, like, we're not losing much from missing the opening with Horsetown at all, or the king, or the dragons.
All right.
Much.
I want to talk about the horses, though.
Okay, yeah, go on.
Don't forget to mention... Horsetown.
So I'll say Horsetown is a giant city. It's like the first city we find, and it's neither a town nor has a single horse in it. Animal we see there is a cow. Like they ride, like the guards here ride bulls.
Yeah, no, those are horses.
There's a horse, and it wasn't even in the city when we find it. It was brought there.
Actually, no, there's actually two of them.
Was it?
Yeah, when they go to like the inn and he ties it up, there's actually a couple near it some horses.
Do they look the same as the weird freak?
Yeah. So Aaron's horse, I think the horses were drawn by people who've never seen a horse before, but have seen deer.
The animated drew that horse worse than I've drawn a horse before.
So I don't know whether or not they were trying to be like, ooh, this is a fantasy horse, but it was a deer.
It was just so wrong.
Yeah. Like
the proportions, the neck, the face.
It was like a llama and a deer got it on.
Like, there's no animal you could have called it, and I would have said, yes, that is correct. I agree with this.
Yeah, it doesn't
look
right.
I feel like we were closest with deer, but the neck was off-putting.
The ears are wrong for a deer. The tail's wrong for a deer. Everything else is
No, it's got the little
right.
fluffy bit for a deer.
No, it has like a hair thing, not a... Not a... tuft.
It's got like a like.
It looks like a tuft.
Thing.
Oh yeah, it's animated badly, especially when you see it running from behind. It doesn't.
It's got like the cloven hooves that are not cloven, but like the toe hooves rather than like the big solid hoof of a horse.
Yeah, like deer hoof. Yeah, deer hooves. They're cloven, right?
I don't know.
I'm gonna give the word cloven there.
I'm just gonna throw it
They're
out.
They're in two parts.
Yeah. Whereas
Toad
like
hooves.
Pink Whereas, moves. Like, it looked a lot more... I'd argue that it looked a lot more like a llama or something.
Yeah.
Fair.
The way it stood with its neck very vertical was very llama-like.
Yeah, and the fluffy bit under the neck was also...
Yeah, we were watching this together, and we had a moment where we said, hang on, what is that animal that he's riding on?
Yeah, and then at the end of the film, they're like, come on, take your horse, I'm going to borrow your horse. And we're like, wait a minute, this is a horse?
Yeah, that one character just asks, should you be taking his horse? And we're like, wait, did she call it a horse? And we had to rewind it
just to make sure they said the word horse.
Yeah, and sure enough, they act like it ain't no thing. Sure, it's a horse. Okay.
It's a fantasy horse.
We should also mention that of the absolute freak that this horse is, it's nowhere close to the absolute freaks in this movie.
So when I found out Willem Dafoe would be playing the villain of this movie, I was expecting something strange from Willem Dafoe voice acting for an animated character. Little did I know that the animated character would be weirder than Willem Dafoe. Would be more of a freak than him himself.
Yeah, it was really cooked.
This is a, like, he's sitting there for the entire movie, like, whispering, and it's like, you can tell it's Willem Dafoe whispering, because occasionally, like, he peeks out of the whisper into, like, just the voice, like, the Spider-Man kind of voice. And also, this is a horrifying person that's got, like, the weirdest shaped head.
Yeah.
And is really oddly, like, it's the strangest voice coming out of a very effeminate, like, looking face, which then later on just mutates into a weird hollow void.
He definitely morphs several different times.
Yeah.
Because he has his dark wizard form, which is an absolute freak. Form. Then he has an old person form.
Then he has the bird form.
Yeah. And then right at the end, he has that skipped leg day forever form.
Hulked out in top, but tiny legs. Like chicken legs compared to his enormous
Carl's
rage.
Ideal body.
No, my ideal body is the callus bod now. It's like giant arms and everything else is just fat.
Or just vanity muscles, right?
Just like tree trunk battering rams for arms. Then everything else can be whatever, like atrophied or enormous. Doesn't matter. Just provided the arms are huge. Want to be swole right here and here, and that's it.
And for those who don't know, Carl just gestured at
to
his
my
butt,
guns.
At his biceps.
You may not have too. They got to be jacked too.
You may not have realized this because this is an audio medium, not a visual medium.
Visual jokes are the best for audio mediums.
Yeah, allegedly audio friendly.
Like, if I ever do this, I made a gun at someone. That's how you know I'm cool, even though you just get an annoying sound effect.
See? Carl just flipped the bird.
In the other name for the podcast, back to the movie.
Back to the movie.
Let's talk a little about the story.
Yep.
Which really just takes a turn after those first 10 minutes where it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the first 10 minutes, dopest. If the film was like kept up that intensity, I would have loved this film.
I would have been really into it. It would have held me, but not. We got not that.
Yeah, honestly, even if it was just a short film and it ended with the king getting stabbed.
Yeah,
like just a little more character to the king, what he's trying to do about the land, and maybe meet the stabber.
Yeah, maybe meet the stabber.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe meet him beforehand and have like a little bit more than just a throwaway line saying, "Hey, the prince is like, you seen him?"
Yeah,
you know,
haven't seen him in a while. You seen him? No, he's 17 now. He can do what he wants.
He's practically a man now.
I mean, for that time, he's. Like middle age. He's going to be dead in 3 weeks.
Especially with the way he lives, going around getting slaved.
Yeah. He's really bad. He gets enslaved for a little while.
Yeah.
Because he goes to sleep on a dock after getting in a fight with some slavers.
Yeah. Like, hey, let me just pick a fight with a bunch of slavers. They're still fine, but like, oh, they running. And then I'm just going to pass out in the on a staircase in the docks.
Why didn't he go, like, where was Sparrowhawk?
At the inn! Sparrowhawk was at the inn!
Why didn't he go to the inn?
Hell if I know! He could have gone to a room where it's warm, where Sparrowhawk is. The one person he can trust in this city.
Remember the scene where he looked at the fountain and was like, spooky?
Spooky.
That was what he stayed there for.
Spooky fountain. He wasn't even at the fountain. He was on the docks. He walked how many miles away just to then sleep on the dock?
Yeah.
Let me just sleep on these nice cold stone steps so that any slaver can come and grab me.
But then we meet our good fantasy girl, Tenar, there. About to get enslaved.
Yep, in the process of being enslaved. Like, here it is. So it was Cheech as the voice actor for...
Yeah, Cheech.
Yeah. Yeah, Cheech of Cheech and Chong fame.
Yeah, the guy who also plays Uncle Felix in the Spy Kids films.
Yeah. And so...
And Ramon in Cars, because that was what he was...
Ramon in Cars?
Yeah, that was what he was advertised in the back of the Blu-ray for, Cars. And I was like, wait a minute.
Of all the people.
Weird casting choice for a decidedly non-comedic role.
Yeah.
Although, out of all the characters, I would have said he was the most comedic.
Yeah, I'll give you that much.
Like,
I'd say the old ladies were probably the comic relief. They show up and actually try to be funny.
The one scene they're in where they're just shit-talking someone to her face.
Yeah, back to my lovely girl, Tenna.
Yep.
I don't think I've mentioned this before.
Yep. Is she your waifu, or...?
No. Because she got burnt on her face, which is just the slightest bit of red colour ever. In the books, she's burnt to ever-loving hell.
Really?
Like, half her face and one of her arms is missing.
Oh, fuck.
Straight up burnt off.
Damn.
And at this, they say, nah, too hard to animate.
That's some Mortal Engines shit right there.
And it fits with this movie, it's just very mellowed out.
Is it even possible for her to have been burned anyway, considering she's actually a dragon? Like, can dragons be hurt by fire? Because you've got... Now that I say that, I'm realizing, like, how dumb that sounds, because they probably can, because humans... in this world, it's like, Earthsea is people. Like, the dragons and humans were once the same species, but humans took up... The water and earth, and dragons went with wind and fire as, like, their things. So humans can drown, humans can die of being buried alive. So I'm assuming dragons can be burned. I'm just now having that realization.
I think also the thing is, if I just took, like, a glob of human spit and threw it at you, it could probably hurt you.
Gross. I don't know about hurt, but I'd feel a bit offended.
Yeah.
You just gauzed on me.
To kind of jump around, the ending of the movie.
Yeah.
Tenard dies in a really weirdly framed kind of way, but we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Then she, for no reason, turns into a dragon.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no prelude to this.
But at the same time, the dragons disappeared for the entire movie, and I would have been really upset if it never came back that dragons exist in this world.
Theru was the dragon. Tenard was the witch.
Oh, am I using the wrong names?
Yeah. I was like, wait a minute. I thought Tenar was... Yeah, Theru is the dragon. All right.
There you go. There's a point in fantasy about making characters have distinctly different names. Yeah. But we'll move on.
We don't need that in this movie.
All right. Tenar, some old hag, and Theru is a dragon. For no reason, once again. She dies, turns into a dragon, goes on a little bit of a joyride, kills the main villain, but not in a cool way.
She doesn't
burn him, though, because he's just on fire.
Yeah, like, he just lights
on
fire.
There's no flame breath. He is just now on fire, and it really doesn't make sense.
It's like, burn, baby, burn. Disco Inferno.
And they...
Maybe it was a miracle. He just spontaneously combusted. I've never seen anything like that in my life. The man just caught fire. It was incredible.
And
just he chose that exact moment to light on flame.
Then there's a lovely bit of a dragon hug, and she's a human again.
Yeah, and then they never talk about it again.
Yeah.
Ever. At all.
You'd assume they'd make the point of, like, if she wants freedom so much that she'd become a dragon, and that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Never discussed. Not in her character in the slightest.
Nope.
It just...
We don't need to make this relevant at all. We can just gloss over that.
Exposition is entirely optional.
What? I'm sorry. I'm reading the Wikipedia article for the fourth book.
Yeah,
where she's like half dragon, half human.
Apparently, transition phase.
Apparently, she calls to a dragon for help. I don't know.
Yeah.
Did you read the books?
I did read the books.
When?
A while ago now.
Yeah. Apparently, another dragon rocks up and saves them. Basically.
Okay.
Kalesin.
What a nice dragon.
Yeah.
But she doesn't turn into a dragon now. She's just. She just got burnt.
But they all
the burnt half is a dragon half.
The ending is still the same. They still go live on a farm.
Yeah, there's a lot of time. Like, most of the time in this movie, like, not so much screen time, but the time spent for the characters is on a farm, just doing farm work.
Yeah, Aaron's just like, yeah, we're working on a farm now.
And,
it's like
and
Sparrowhawk's
cool
a wizard, but I'm working on a farm now.
Is there nothing better they could be doing as a wizard? Like, heck, could a wizard not just grow the plants
with
magic?
In the books, he's the prince of the world. Well, Aaron actually gets the title.
Wow. he actually achieved something good.
He saved the world from the apocalypse and is like, yeah, well, I'm king now.
Unlike this movie where they bring up the apocalypse and then shelve it away forever.
And most of his time in the fourth book is spent trying to convince Sparrowhawk to like be an advisor and don't just sit on a farm, please.
Sparrowhawk, please do something. Stop being a lazy shit.
Please, Sparrowhawk, you're my only hope.
Contribute, you bastard. You're an archmage. Make a difference.
Well, no, not an archmage. The archmage.
Yeah. You're the number one.
Which also mentioned that towards the end of the film, when there's the big confrontation between the absolute freak that is Willem Dafoe and the apparently half-dragon and the prince, they just do nothing.
Yeah, Sparrowhawk does. Sparrowhawk being the archmage makes no attempt to help in any way what is the biggest battle.
Can we just talk about this whole Sparrowhawk being the archmage for a thing?
Yeah.
So out of all the people we've seen, including the Mustache Council.
Yep.
Who are just the dudes with mustaches. And
apparently the King's Advisors, which is pretty much like this podcast. Yeah. It's all just dudes with beards.
The table is divided into the mustaches and the beards.
Yep. It's just men with facial hair. That's all of the King's Advisors.
Out of all of them, the only wizard we actually see, other wizard, is the one on the boat and Cobb. So Sparrowhawk is better than that dude on the boat, probably.
They make it seem like wizards are a really common thing, though.
We do meet the King's old-ass advisor wizard, but he does absolutely nothing. He just kind of explains about dragons.
Yeah, Sparrowhawk is... What's with the staff, too? I'd never understood where they needed a staff.
Yeah, they don't use the staff, though.
He casts a light spell on it. They cast a light spell just below the tip.
Yeah, that really bothered me as well.
Really?
Yeah.
That the tip of it doesn't light up, it's just below it on the wood part?
Yeah, it's just below it. That actually kind of bothered me.
At least it was consistent throughout.
Yeah, it was consistent, but it consistently bothered me.
Oh, we should mention that this movie does look gorgeous.
Oh, it's pretty.
It's
Ghibli
standard.
Still the Ghibli style.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Mm. It's really nice to look at, except the story just doesn't hold up.
Yeah. Hold up? I mean, no, it just isn't good. Good.
Cobb is not really nice to look at.
No, not at all. Take him off screen, please. Stop it.
Still not the worst thing I've seen.
So Cobb's thing is he wants to become immortal. I didn't quite get how he was going about doing that. Because his whole thing was he kidnaps Aaron and tells him that Sparrowhawk's goal is to become immortal. But I don't really when he does. And then convinces Aaron he wants to become immortal. And then Aaron's also the key to immortality. Like, I didn't grasp any of how that went together.
It's probably fair considering none of it was ever explained.
Yeah. But... That just made no sense to me. And then Cobb's whole shtick is he wants to become immortal. And then the moral of the story is you can't have immortality, because to have immortality means you don't have death, and to not have death means you don't have life, like opposites attract and all that kind of stuff.
And Carl, how many friends have you lost over this argument already?
So many. I'm surprised more people don't want to be immortal. I'm shocked.
Why do you just assume that people want to be immortal?
Because it means forever life. What you'll think of all the things you'll miss, Alex.
And?
That's it. Like, at some point I'm going to die and I'm going to miss every next Marvel movie forever. Someone at some point has seen every Marvel movie bar Infinity War because they died before it.
And?
It's sad. picture the people who...
It's the nature of human existence.
Yeah, but why should that be the case? Anyway, we're getting into a whole ethical thing here. Yes. I could go on about this.
If you rearrange the letters in Carl, you get Voldemort?
Yeah.
I am Lord Voldemort, thank you very much.
Yeah, you rearrange Robert Pintesso into that.
You rearrange Carl and you get Lich. It just makes sense.
I knew it. I knew there was a Lich on the podcast.
That was absolutely thought out way too far in advance to be a coincidence.
You can't have a good podcast without a Lich being involved. It's just impossible. All right? iTunes, it's in iTunes' terms and conditions.
Yeah, that's why I'm the Lich.
It's like a guild.
That's why I'm the Lich.
Don't start, Alex. You want to die eventually.
Exactly. That's why I'm the Lich. The Lich always gets defeated and how it works.
No, not if they're a good one.
No. Then
you build your Tomb of Horrors and then we'll talk later.
Yeah. You watch.
Oh, man. Anyway, this is not a D&D podcast.
Not yet.
Why don't I have one yet? Because I don't have the bookings.
I should say, concerning it being a fantasy movie, it follows the very traditional mark of nobody ever actually really accomplishes anything through skill or effort.
Not really, no.
It all just kind of happens.
Yeah. Although Aaron kind of learns a lesson in this movie, at least that much happens. Like, he at least learns, hey, you should accept that death eventually happens, kid, though you're the key to immortality.
So you stabbed your father.
Yeah, also he did murder his father and no one calls him up on it. He even admits it to What's-Her-Face, Dragon Girl, and then just, like, everyone is cool with it, just brushes it off. Like, yeah, you committed regicide and patricide all in the same boat. But that's cool, because you learn the lesson about being a good person.
But also, she's a dragon, she doesn't give.
She's just like, that's a pretty big oof there, Aaron.
This makes the oof become the big oof. My God, I can't believe that's never touched on. No one even brings it back up. The only time the king dying to the prince ever comes up is he says, I stabbed him.
You know what? This film
I felt bad and stabbed him.
You know what? This film reminds me of The Last Jedi a bit, because it comes up with so many good ideas but then touches on none of them, and then you're like, all right, this is a film that I feel vaguely mildly disappointed about.
A little bit.
Mildly disappointed?
Well, I did. Earth seemed mildly disappointed.
Honestly, I was
Jedi,
a little bit...
Jedi, oh, man.
That's
another podcast.
That's honestly about 60% of the audience disappointed in terms of revenue.
I was a little bit like rollercoastering on this movie where I had expectations really low and then the start happened and I was like, surely it can't be that bad. Like they shot back up and then they went back down.
Then they get to the farm and you're like...
Yeah, and then I was like, maybe it'll be good. No.
I should mention, when I first watched this, I really wanted to like it.
I want to like every movie I see. It just doesn't work out that way sometimes.
I know I'm always down to watch absolute shit, but like, it's fancy, it's beautifully drawn.
Yeah.
Come on, this has to be at least decent. And
it's
a Miyazaki movie, except it's not.
It's like adequate at best.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a goddamn shame.
What is it rated on Rotten Tomatoes? Let's
find
out.
I'm going to take a guess.
45.
Oh, I was going to throw out like 43. If I had to try to
shoot. Tales from SC 2006 film.
It's rarely offensively bad. It's just
41%.
Ooh, that's not
cool. Yeah, like I said, it suffers from the Last Jedi issue where they were trying to do a lot and so little and then not care.
Simplify, bruv.
Also, to be fair, Gorō Miyazaki rocked up to like draw some things and then they're like, oh man, you're the director now. Yeah.
I hope he didn't draw the horses and then they said, hey, you should direct this.
It might be my favorite bit of IMDb trivia that says he was chosen because he could make decisions quickly. Because it's like, you didn't make good decisions, but you did it with gusto. And I feel that. You should direct.
Maybe that's half of showbiz. Just like, well, he threw out an answer, so give him the job. Like, he came to a decision real quick. Like, he gave us an answer without giving it any thought. Any thought at all. Any consideration for the possibilities that may happen from this.
Good work is 90% confidence.
Oh, this thing is clearly not a horse.
Yep. Not at all. I want to bring up something that the last note I had in my notes page. Every time Cobb disappears from view in that final act, he moves really quickly. But every time the camera's looking at him, he's like hobbling and crawling along like a crippled old man. But the moment he disappears from the camera view, he shoots 50 feet away from Aaron. Like, he moves impossibly faster when you stop looking at him. He's like a weeping angel in that the moment you stop, he's gone. Like, he shoots up like 30 feet into the air, climbing up this brickwork the moment he disappears from sight. And then as soon as Aaron turns the corner to look at him, he's like, like feebly climbing this tower.
He's not a very good old man. But now that we're here, we should talk about Teru's death scene.
Yeah.
Because she gets choked out, and it's cut together in such a way that, like, she's dying, and Aaron's looking at it happen. Mm. But when it cuts to the wider shot, it's blocked out, so he's really not. He's looking in the exact opposite direction.
Yeah.
It's like, why are you reacting to this?
He's so far away, too. Just, like, a mile across this tower. They also did, like, speaking of the tower collapsing, it's like a video game where, like, all the bricks that crumble, it's, like, the exact distance they's jump. Like, There's like this odd exactism to all the bricks still left,
yeah.
where they're like perfectly spaced apart. It's like, did Cobb design this tower to crumble in this way?
Oh no!
What's up?
Oh
no!
I started looking at the trivia and I just realized that the only reason we didn't get a Hayao Miyazaki C film was because he was making Howl's Moving Castle.
Oh man!
And Howl's Moving Castle is so good.
Yeah,
I mean it's a fair trade, but all the same,
I would have rather held on to this.
Just hold on to one of them and make the other one later.
Yeah, but think about it. If this was a good movie, I would have chosen something worse for you both to watch.
That's true. That is true.
It's the first Disney animated film to achieve a PG-13 rating.
Wait, did you say Disney?
Yeah, it's Disney distributed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which also made it
to achieve a PG, really?
Yeah. Wow.
PG-13 in America, it's M here. That's entirely in the dragon getting its throat ripped out at the start.
Yeah,
which
pretty
is
much.
Brutal for the movie because the rest of it's very, very tame.
Yeah, I know.
You're really not wrong. Like, nothing else in this movie really happens that is that mature, except for maybe a guy trying to sell a kid drugs.
Yeah, but even then, he just calls it bliss. He doesn't say, like, this will make your teeth fall out, kid.
It's like, I'm pretty sure bliss is a Riverdale drug.
I think there's one in Doctor Who as well.
Yeah,
it's the patches.
Yeah.
Make you feel emotions. I remember that. It's the episode set in New York, which is actually like New Earth. Yeah, it's on a New Earth.
Yeah.
New York, it's gridlock.
Is that like 10,000 years in the future from Futurama?
Yeah, what it is is they're on a different planet and they've built New York, but the doctor's like, oh, technically it's new, and there's like 27 news.
Oh my God.
York, but everyone just calls it New York. It's bliss because all the people in the parliament died, and that's why the gridlock happens. They can't move through the system, and then they open up to kill the crab things.
That was a better episode than this movie.
That episode was actually pretty good. It had cat people in it.
Yeah, and we all know your thoughts on cat people now, I guess.
It had cat people, and their babies were just kittens.
Yeah, it was the weirdest thing. It was kind of weird.
Adorable, but weird.
But when you think about it, I would assume that's actually a logical point of view standpoint. Before they become people, they just can't.
It implies like a metamorphosis, though, where all their bones change as opposed to a fuzzy baby.
Yeah.
Oh, true.
I'd like to see a cat person cocoon. Goes into it, a kitten that comes out as like a toddler.
But it does the same thing that a caterpillar does in a cocoon where it completely liquefies and reforms into another creature.
I didn't need to know that.
Did you not know that?
I don't know much about caterpillars.
That's like the most haunting thing about caterpillars turning into butterflies is that if you open up a cocoon, it's not like a half like formed creature. It's actually just liquid. It turns into biomass, then reforms itself. Yeah. You're telling me, dude, that was like the most freaky thing I ever heard was like, oh yeah, no, they just like turn into biomass and then reform into another creature. It's like, what?
I saw the other day a spider shed its skin.
Ugh.
No, this isn't supposed to happen.
The horror. Yeah. Creatures are weird, man. Still less of a freak than Cobb.
Absolutely less of a freak than Cobb.
How is he so weird?
You know what? All the little details, like in the last scene, his teeth change constantly. Sometimes they're like golem fangs. Other times they're like hillbilly squares, but some of them are missing. It's the fact that he wears little slippers that they're like old people's shoes, but in the weird kind of way, like he's wearing them with royal robes.
Yeah. The fact that his eyes are no longer eyes, but just vacuous holes into the back of his head. Disturbing. The fact that he's like hulking out, but also like rippling and bulging.
Kids wouldn't like that.
You know, yeah, that's some nightmare fuel. I think if I were like 12 watching this, that would be the kind of thing that would haunt my dreams for years afterwards.
Yeah. But at least we do get the dragon hug. It is very wholesome.
It's all worth it for dragon hugs. Wish I had a dragon friend.
What would you do with a dragon friend?
Never ending story.
I'd just burn some things.
Yeah. Right on their back, then go trogdoring.
I think I would have to have a bad dragon situation here.
Please no. Oh my God.
God. You have the one dragon in the world and you're not going to try it.
Oh, No, for the same reason I wouldn't try it if I had a horse.
Everyone has a horse. And it's well documented what can go wrong if you have a horse.
You disgust me.
I disgust me too.
I don't know where to go from that.
God. I still wonder what, like, what do you think the creatures that were, like, humans and dragons when they're same, what do you think they look like?
Kittens.
They're just kittens? And then they're like, oh, we're going to do this. And then they went through the metamorphosis. Some of them grew wings and scales, and the others just turned into people.
Turned into shitty people, yeah. Way worse.
Yeah, also, another thing that bothered me the most about this film is that magic is not a way to make money.
Nah.
No?
Yeah, the sorceress actually has become, like, the person selling fabrics. So she's like, there's no money in magic. Stuff it.
That bothers you, though?
Yeah.
That should ideally be because she forgot magic, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
No, she hasn't forgotten magic.
So, yeah. Magic's never really explained along with all the things.
Don't really do... But don't even do much magic in this movie, though.
It's a true name scenario, but they don't explain it.
Well, yeah, they bring up the idea of true names.
Sparrowhawk's a very Gandalf wizard.
Yeah.
He just kind of does a few things that don't have any super impact on anything.
Yeah, but apparently he's the best wizard out there.
Yeah.
Like, he does a similar thing to Gandalf, where at one point he just makes things light. When he takes Arryn from the slavers... We don't see him do any magical stuff except it's really bright outside right now, guys. It's really bright. What'd he do? Surf a flashbang?
He also just walks in and then like just goes, yeah, come with me. And the shackles come off, but that's like not major.
There is a debate we were having on whether or not he did legally buy Arryn.
Yeah. Yes, that one, please.
He picks a boy out of a slaver's wagon, takes him to a farm, and says, now plow.
It's true, though.
Yeah, like, who knows?
He basically got a slave. He pretty much... In fact, him saving Arryn from the wolves, he pretty much got a slave from that point on, and he was just taking his property back. Yeah. Arryn doesn't do too much of free will in this movie.
No, he doesn't.
Anytime he tries doing things for himself, he gets kidnapped.
Yeah, even at the end, it's just a bunch of people telling him, this is your true name, go do things I want you to do.
Yeah, pretty much.
No, it's just okay, give you it need credit.
Learn a lesson, kid, right now.
The movie, in Cobbin, he's not just a dark wizard.
Mm-hmm.
He's a dark wizard of industry. Like, guys, where does Voldemort get his money? You know, but Cobb's a slave trader. It makes sense.
Yeah, he's actually got like a thing going on the side other than just, I want to be immortal. I'm going to dedicate everything to that. He's got like, you know, his gang with their ridiculous helmets going out trying to take slaves.
Yeah, Cheech and the Helmet Boys.
Cheech and the Helmet Gang.
Man, the thing that also bothered me was that he's got the little eye things on the helmet but never used them.
Oh, binoculars. Right towards the end, Cheech's character, like the guy with these like, I don't know why they're on there, but like he's got these goggles built into the helmet that never drop down. But he holds his fingers up like in glasses motions in front of his eyes in order to use them like binoculars. Like he just does like the eye thing and it's like suddenly he focuses. It's so fucking dumb.
They also...
Like that's the most comedic relief moment in that movie is him just going like standing up on top of the crenellations on the tower and looking over it like
this. It was the dumbest thing.
Yeah.
They also make great Bond villains, because at one point they have everyone except the girl captured. They're like, we'll deal with them in the morning.
Yeah. They take Arryn, they take Sparrowhawk, they have all of them there like, yeah, we've got these people bound and captured. But you know what? It's my union allocated break. I'm already working overtime, Cobb. We'll deal with this stuff in the morning when I'm on shift.
Yeah,
I'm
pretty sure those slavers had unionized.
Yeah, they must have.
Slavery is a serious business, all right? They're not just in the city abducting little girls for fun.
Yeah. But in all fairness, they must have a slave union going on. We see a lot of slaving in
Slaver,
Horsetown.
Not slave union.
Who knows? Maybe the slaves have a union too. Maybe
the slave union representative comes. Hey, we need more breaks. Whip.
Hey, can we get paid now?
Well, the slaves still get breaks. They just don't get paid. They're only allowed to work certain hours.
They get there breaks in the form of fractures and spiral injuries.
Oh my god!
No, they actually do have smoke breaks. They traded in payment for smoke breaks.
Yeah, smoko for payment works out perfectly. Oh my god!
And
they also get paid overtime, but no one ever makes them.
They never choose to. No, if you take overtime, you just get another smoko.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah.
I once got offered that at my work. It's, hey, can you work an extra, like, 4 hours? I'll give you a half-hour break. It's like, no. Fuck you.
Yeah, that happens at my work.
Yeah, we'll give you an extra half-hour.
And on these glorious unionized slavers, they have Sparrowhawk in their custody. Like, shall we stab him? Shall we burn him?
Should we finish him off,
what
kill
should we
him?
Do? How about off a building?
Yeah. the man that turns into a hawk, throw him off a building. Bind him up in chains and throw him off a building.
That was my favorite bit, just the idea that, like, this is how they publicly execute people. We just push him off a building.
Yeah. It wasn't even, like, the edge tower. He would have fallen into the courtyard.
He would just
exactly.
fallen into the
exactly, it's public execution.
Yeah.
It's like, flex cool. on them.
Cool, sure, just throw him off into the castle. Like, not even off a cliff. Or, you know, like, there's plenty of... There's many sides of this castle that's built on a cliff that they could just toss him off and he'd fall another double the distance into the, like, perilous fall below. But not throw him into the courtyard.
Yeah,
yeah, it's public execution.
I don't know, like, they're not that kind of Bond villain where it's like, he went over a cliff, he'll be gone forever.
Yeah.
Like, well, we should at least see him dead.
We should at least make sure.
And he's very cooperative about it. You know, he stands up on the ledge by himself, and even when bad things are happening, he doesn't step down from it or
and
anything.
And he makes no attempt to help in
even
any way.
Even when Tendar gets ready to push him.
Yeah. It's like, oh, nah, I'm cool. I'm just going to sit up here. Don't worry about me, Aaron. You go stop the bad guy. I won't contribute any of my powerful magic being the Archmage and all. I won't help you in any way. You got this, fam.
Guys, I'm a little overpowered. Might not be fair.
You know what? He's fighting a 17-year-old. I think I'll give him this chance. If I throw in my hat into the ring, the both of us will kick his ass. Cobb's a weak shit anyway. A 17-year-old with a sword will take him out.
And he doesn't really make sense. Cobb gets his hand cut off and he's like, oh no. I lost my staff, but I'm made of goo, so I have my hand back. I'm just kind of a freak now, I guess.
He loses the hand, and then that's just, from there, it's a devolution. Like, just turns more into a freak.
I assume it's just the magic of the sword.
It could be, but all the sword does is become light.
Yeah, did they ever really get into, like, how that sword's cool in any way? It's just like, that sword is made with magic.
Yeah, it's made out of mithril. Glows when orcs are nearby.
And that's
goblins.
And that's all it do.
Yeah,
except,
world where there are
and
no
it locks
orcs or
itself.
Goblins.
Like, what caused it to unlock? Is it him becoming a good person or something?
He just says please.
Yeah, he begs it.
He's got to enter the passcode.
You have to ask politely, and that goes, oh yeah, sure.
It has a fingerprint scanner.
Biometrics.
It finally clocked through that his dad's dead. It's like, oh, I'm your sword now.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's like, oh, dad, your dad's dead? Oh,
please
wait 48
I'm sorry,
hours
kid.
Before contacting customer support.
Please. Oh, fuck. A kid's asking please. Oh, you better let him through.
Yeah. It's like, all right, boys, let's roll.
It also probably went to the friendliest shop owner ever.
Yeah.
Because he got the sword, which he found at the dock, and was like, I can't open this. I should probably sell it. Keep that in my shop.
It's rusted to hell. It's probably not worth anything.
It was like the only time somebody would ever possibly pay for the sword is like, you know what? You can have it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, to be fair, I think he was trying to sell it, like, to some noble or something for decoration.
Mm.
Yeah, but then he just gives it away because he's a nice guy.
He basically just says,
the man's a wizard.
He just says, like, it's not really worth anything.
Yeah.
Although, I gotta give credit, like, the one, like, cool magical thing that Sparrowhawk does is in that scene where he buys the sword, which is where he just turns around and suddenly he's like an old man going, I don't know where this Sparrowhawk is.
Yes, I'm wearing his very distinctive clothes.
I'm wearing his clothes and I look just, but I look nothing like him.
Why didn't Sparrowhawk just hide the scar on his face all the time?
Should have done.
It's possible he doesn't have a scar and it's all aesthetic.
Maybe he's the bulbous-nosed old man that he turns into there, where he's like the bumbling, I'd never heard of him in my life. That's Sparrowhawk. And then he uses magic to go into the, yes, of course, I'm the Timothy Dalton badass Sparrowhawk that you see today with the scar on my face.
That reminds me, if they ever make a live-action version of this film, I want all the actors except maybe Cheech, to play their characters again.
Especially the child actors who are now adults.
Yeah,
who are probably adults to begin with.
Yeah.
Timothy Dalton as Sparrowhawk, yes.
That would work.
Willem Dafoe is the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
Sure, yeah. Yes. I mean, he kind of looks like what Cobb turns into.
Mariska Hargitay, sure.
Wouldn't you love to be the person who has to go and propose that to Willem Dafoe? It's like, you remember when you were the voice for that fucking freak? Well, you kind of look like him.
Or you want to be in the live action
though? You want to play him again. You remember that one like really trashy Miyazaki film we got you into and you're like totally down for it and then it turned out not very good? Well, you want to do it again? You want to do it for real? My God.
Timothy Dalton's like, yes, a paycheck.
Ooh, money.
Look.
Oh, a piece of candy.
That man did Looney Tunes back in action. That dude wants money.
Man needs cash.
Man.
Although I do like that film.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's the only scene where you get Brendan Fraser punching Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
That's good. They should really make a Mummy 4 for that.
It's Tom Cruise.
We don't talk
versus
about that.
Tom Cruise versus Brendan
Tom
Fraser.
Tom Cruise and
Mummy
Brendan
4.
Fraser action? Hell yes.
Yeah, Dooku's back on, boys.
We've resurrected the Dooku today. That's a great time in the podcast on resurrecting the Dooku. Saving it, salvaging it. So thank you, David, for coming onto the podcast.
It was not a pleasure.
It's been great having you. We'll have to have you back on for another terrible animated movie, or maybe something better next time. We'll see what we can sort out.
How do you feel about the Dark Crystal?
We shall see. We shall look into it. Next week, we've got... Alex, do you want to tell us what next week's for?
We've got Stardust.
Yeah, so Stardust, which I haven't seen, but I was pitching this episode to a lot of people, and they're saying, like, how have you not seen this, Carl? It's amazing. So I'm going to see it.
Yeah, you better.
Yeah. Join us next week for that, and we'll see you all next time.